Welcome back to the UTG podcast. I'm Stephen Grant, and today we want to spend some time looking at the idea of God's call upon our lives, particularly God's call to serve Him. And to do this, we want to go back to the Old Testament and to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 4 down to verse 9. And from this section, we want to see Jeremiah's call to service and some idea about his reluctance to serve and some of the reasons or excuses he gave and God's answers to that. So let's just read that. Verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. The idea of God calling his people to serve is a familiar concept throughout the Bible. And when you read through the Bible, you discover this very early on in the book of Genesis, in fact, where a man called Abram, who later is referred to as Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, in the first three verses, is called to a very significant service for God and called away from his family, called away from his country, and called to walk in faith with God in service for God. And that isn't something that is an isolated incident in the Bible. It happens repeatedly. And God singles out and calls men and women to serve him. Each of these calls that you come across in the Old Testament, for example, are set within particular historical context. For example, for Moses, when he was called to serve God in quite a spectacular fashion, it was in the middle of a crisis in Egypt, which is familiar, I suppose, to many of us. And God was looking for Moses to bring and lead his people out of slavery and bondage through the Red Sea, ultimately toward the border of the promised land that he had for them. When you read on into the Old Testament, you discover men like, for example, Gideon. And again, there is a historical context to that unusual call to service. It was the time when the people of God were being attacked and dominated by the Midianites. When you come to Jeremiah, the context is different, but again, fairly remarkable, fairly dramatic, I suppose you could say. And it's the end times of the kingdom of Judah. And that is the southern kingdom consisting of these two tribes. And the 10 tribes in the north were called Israel and have a different history. So God calls Jeremiah to serve him in that context. And very briefly, it's interesting to me that when you look at God's call upon his life, that we can learn lessons about this, because God's call upon the lives of, for example, Jeremiah and Moses and Gideon was within particularly unusual circumstances. And they were called to lead in a national sense. Well, when you come into the New Testament, the context is different. And when we think about our lives and circumstances, again, for the vast majority of us, God's call upon our life is to serve. And as Christians, we have been saved to serve. And that's an expression that sometimes you hear, but it's true. And we are described as servants in the New Testament, bond servants. And we have a Lord, we have a master, and we render service to that Lord, the Lord Jesus. And we've been called by him to serve. And it's interesting to me when you look at the call to service, for example, of Jeremiah, as I've said, you do learn lessons, and there is a character about that call that's transferable into our New Testament context and our own particular experiences. When Jeremiah is called in verse 5 of chapter 1 of the book that bears his name, it's interesting to me that there are four verbs employed in verse number 5 as the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now, we don't know in what form that word of the Lord came. We don't know the context of that. We're not told that. We simply know that it did come. And God communicated to Jeremiah. And as he did so, these verbs are employed. And number one, he says, I formed you. Number two, he says, I knew you. Number three, he says, I consecrated you or sanctified you. And number four, he appointed or he ordained Jeremiah. And all of these verbs have God as their object in Jeremiah. Sorry, God is their subject and Jeremiah as their object. And they have a familiar pattern about them. And so he tells Jeremiah about his involvement in Jeremiah's life story, even before he was born. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, there is a lot in that to consider, but it is encouraging to know that God was interested in Jeremiah before Jeremiah was even formed within the womb. And that verb form is regularly used to describe the work of a craftsman or a potter in particular, as it is in chapter 18 of Jeremiah. And again, it reminds us of the creative work of God and the involvement of God in the conception and birth of a human being. And Genesis chapter 2 comes to mind when it says in verse 1, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being, a living soul. Well, God not only shaped in a miraculous fashion the creation of Adam, but he has continued to be involved in the creation of men and women. And here we have this insight that God shaped and God designed Jeremiah in his mother's womb. And he goes on to say this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew Jeremiah personally, individually, intimately, even before he had begun to form him in the womb. And that word, to know, I knew, really indicates relationship. It's the idea of God choosing him. It's the biblical idea of God knowing his people. You get this again, for example, in the book of Amos in chapter 3 and verse 2, when the Lord is speaking to his ancient people and says, you only have I known, there's the word, of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And the Lord is saying to his ancient people that I have a peculiar, a unique relationship with you out of all the other families of the earth. And that unique relationship was based not upon their choice of God, but upon God's choice of them. And this is true when you come into the New Testament. For example, when you get to the book of Romans in chapter 8, you read similar type language. And it says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so Jeremiah is hearing information here. The Lord's communicating to him and communicating the truth that Jeremiah had been known to the Lord before he was even conceived and before the Lord formed him in the womb. And then he goes on and says this, before you were born, I consecrated you. It's amazing that before Jeremiah was born, the Lord was setting him apart. The underlying Hebrew root of that word is usually translated holy. For example, in chapter 2 and verse 3 of Jeremiah, where Israel is depicted as holy to the Lord. And this idea of being set apart or sanctified or consecrated is amazing, because Jeremiah is being told, God has a plan for you. And that plan was not subsequent to your birth and life, not based upon the sort of person you became after you were born. This has got nothing to do with you changing God's mind. This has got nothing to do with you impressing God. This has got nothing to do with God responding to the sort of person you've been in life, but rather this: God had a plan for you, Jeremiah, and that plan predated your birth. You were set apart by God. You were chosen to have a special relationship with the Lord, and you were set apart in order that you might serve the Lord. And the person who's set apart to serve the Lord is then commissioned to do so, and that's the fourth verb. And he says, I appointed you, I ordained you. And the underlying Hebrew root of that word is usually translated as gave or give. And in Jeremiah's case, this choice of Jeremiah by the Lord and the consecration of Jeremiah by the Lord were followed by this special commission. And you bring that all together, and what do you discover? That the Lord calls Jeremiah to serve, and that call was rooted in God's sovereignty. God was in control. God had made, God had saved, God had chosen, God had set apart Jeremiah for this task. Now that's encouraging. That's encouraging because when we think about our own circumstances and our own salvation, and God has gifted every single Christian who has received a gift of the Spirit, and that's another subject, and so we have a God-given ability to serve Him within the context in which God places us. And so we are able to serve, and God has called us to serve, and God is in control of all of that. And you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it's speaking about the gifts that God has given that enable us to serve Him acceptably within the context that He places us. And these are gifts of the Spirit. And again, that's another subject. So you come to this, and notice in verse 6, if you're following this in a Bible, Jeremiah responds to that. And he says, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. Now remember that he has been appointed as a prophet to the nations, and essentially a prophet has to speak. It's in the word. You know, the idea of being a prophet is not so much being a foreteller as a forth teller, someone who speaks for God. And it may well be that God has information to communicate that previously had not been revealed. That did happen in the Old Testament, and the prophets provided that ministry and service. But very often, and Jeremiah is one of them, these prophets were not revealing new information. It was not that the Lord was revealing new things to the people of God often, but He was often calling them to account and holding them responsible and reminding them of what they had previously learned and calling them to live in accordance with that. Well, Jeremiah objects to this service. And his objection is not that the service is unnecessary or the service is beneath him or something like that. He says, I am not fitted to carry out that service. He says, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. It's interesting to me that the Lord calls Jeremiah and has told Jeremiah this is something that's been in the pipeline for a long time, even before you were born. And yet Jeremiah is saying, no, Lord, you don't understand. I can't do this. I'm not fitted for this. But the Lord has called him and chosen him and appointed him. And yet there appears to be this timidity. Now, it's not unique to Jeremiah. You remember Moses at the burning bush. He spoke about his inability to speak well. And here Jeremiah, he seems to say that the reason that he does not know how to speak is that he's only a youth. He's only a child. Now, Jeremiah may have been in his late teenage years or his early 20s at best when God called him. And when you come into the New Testament, you discover that timidity, it is not really an attribute in the service of God. In fact, it's not. Because when the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy and instructing this young man to set an example for the believers in his speech and his life and his love and his faith and his purity in 1 Timothy, he also informs him that he has not received the spirit of fear, from the Lord. That didn't come from the Lord. And Jeremiah's timidity did not come from the Lord. Now, it's understandable. It's not as if we can say we've never been there. We're there often. And God, our Lord, puts us into circumstances, for example, into a family or into a workplace or into a place of study or into a neighbourhood. And that is the context in which we are called to serve him. And then opportunities for service arise, and perhaps we're afraid of them, or perhaps we doubt our capability, or we doubt our suitability to serve. And yet the opportunities in front of us, and we've been placed in this community or this context, and we may look at that and say, well, this is coincidental or whatever. But actually, when you look at it from the divine perspective, and that's what Jeremiah is being assured of by the Lord, that the Lord is in control of all of this. And perhaps that perspective is helpful for us, that we have not landed in that workplace. We've not just obtained this house to live in this community as a coincidence or by chance, but the Lord is in this. Well, the Lord reassures Jeremiah in verse 7 down to verse number 9. And in some respects, these three verses that conclude the chapter in verse 17 down to verse 19 are parallel to this section as well. And the Lord reminds Jeremiah of certain truths that he should not forget. He says, "Do not be afraid of them. Do not say, 'I am only a youth.'" And so Jeremiah has been instructed what not to say, what not to think, really. Because these thoughts, articulated or not, are going to cause him to be ineffective, perhaps even passive, in the service of God. So, for example, the Lord says to him, "Do not say, 'I'm only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." The Lord says that he will receive that divine authority, and that divine authority will give him the ability to say whatever he is commanded to say. He says, "For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. You will go where I send you, and you will say what I give you to say, and you will carry the authority of the Lord with you." And then he goes on and he gives also in verse number 8 the assurance of the divine presence, the Lord's presence. And so this is such a comforting promise. He says in verse 8, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." The Lord says, look, you'll go where I send you, you'll say what I give you to say, but you will not be alone when you do so. I will be with you. God with us, Emmanuel, and there is the guarantee of his constant presence. Now, in the New Testament, we have the guarantee of the divine presence as a Christian everywhere we go and in every aspect of service into which we are put or engage. The indwelling Spirit of God is with us. He doesn't come and go. He's permanently resident within us. And we have this wonderful promise of the Lord, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Remember, Paul says this, "Everyone forsook me, but the Lord stood with me." And so this also, by the way, appears in the call of Gideon and Joshua and Moses. And it seemed an essential element, something the Lord reassured his servants with, that they would not be alone, that he would be with them. And then there is the divine touch in verse 9. "The Lord put his hand and touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" And the Lord symbolically touches his mouth. Just, I suppose, in Isaiah chapter 6, the seraph touched the sinful lips of Isaiah. So his lips symbolically are touched by the word, the Lord. And it's the idea of placing the words in someone's mouth symbolically. Well, let me just summarize this, and perhaps this will be an encouragement as you think about serving the Lord and perhaps you feel inadequate, well, that's not always a bad starting point. It removes the problem of pride and arrogance and self-reliance and self-assurance. But it should not debilitate us in the service of the Lord. I think it is equally bad to be someone that is overconfident, but also someone who lacks confidence in the Lord. And someone who is debilitated by that, by their fear and by their unbelief. And so let us understand there's a divine perspective, there's an eternal perspective to our service. That there's a bigger picture. And the Lord who saved us is the Lord who has ordained us into his service. And that service is not just the spectacular for the few, but it is the regular, ordinary service of everyday life for the rest of us. And so yes, it's witnessing. Yes, it's living righteously. Yes, it's holiness. And yes, it is service of the most practical fashion. And you say, well, you know, I'm not up to it. The Lord says to Jeremiah, you are up to it because I have called you to it and I have fitted you for it and I'm going to be with you in it. And he puts his hand symbolically on the mouth to reassure him. Well, take courage. The Lord has a service for you to do, whatever that may be. And as he calls you to that service, he has fitted you for it and he will be with you in it. I hope that's an encouragement as we look ahead to today, maybe tomorrow, wherever you listen to this, and think in your own circumstance, how can I serve the Lord today?